Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Western Entrepreneur, where we help entrepreneurs take the next step in their own business. Before we dive into our episode today, I do want to talk about the next up and coming event. Yes, we're having events. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of virtual networking events. So for the extroverts out there that are like me, we're having our next event, September 11th. It's a Friday in the evening. If you want the details on that and what's going on about that, make sure you go to WNYEntrepreneur.com. Again, that's WNYEntrepreneur.com. Sign up for our email list to be first to be notified what the details are and what they are when they come out. So anyways, I want to talk about our guest today. We have Joe Town. He's the owner of Paces Pizzeria in Jamestown. In fact, say hi, Joe, real quick.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Yeah, so Joe is actually in Jamestown, as I mentioned, and this is our first interview with a owner from the Southern Tier, J-Town, I used to call it. And for those that don't know, I used to live here in Jamestown, good old Falconer, New York, for a couple of years. But thanks for being with us, Joe.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate your time.
You got it.
Yeah. So, Joe, for I'm guessing most of our listeners aren't from Jamestown, if we had to break down the percentages. So I'm guessing a lot of people don't know you, don't know your story, what you're all about. So if you don't mind, just share your entrepreneurial story.
Absolutely. So Jamestown's about an hour and a half south of Buffalo, depending on which part of Buffalo you are driving from. So not too far, a little bit snowier than Buffalo, but other than that, looking pretty good. The story kind of starts back in 2003, when I was hired by a gentleman named Dino Pace, who was a mentor of mine and a good friend of mine. And he started Pace's Pizzeria in 1953. And he was still working, and being the proprietor, he was hands-on guy, was working in his, you know, up into his early 90s at Paces Pizzeria. And in 2003, he hired me as a young guy and taught me all about the restaurant business, really how to interact with folks at the table, how to, you know, customer service, the food business, all the numbers, the accounting, the finance, the cost controls, the margins, all that fun stuff. So kind of fast forwarding through that, I graduated from Frewsburg Central School, which is right near Jamestown, 2006. So for those 3 years, I worked at Paces. After 2006, I went to Niagara University up in Lewiston. So I was right near the Buffalo area. I had a great time. Met a lot of friendly people up there. A lot of them are still my friends. A lot own businesses in Buffalo. That's kind of fun to go up and see now. I graduated in 2010. On summers and holidays, I'd come back and I would work at Paces Pizzeria with Dino. In 2010, I moved to Boston, Massachusetts, where I took a position with Kimpton Hotels and Restaurants. My friend Gabrielle Amante and I both landed at the Boston location called Hotel 90 in KO Prime. First Niagara University students to be hired at Kimpton. Kimpton's a small boutique hotel company, averaging $350 per room per night, and just a terrific company. And so Gabrielle and I got our start there. She, I believe, just recently stopped her career there and started with Oracle. She's doing a great job with Oracle, but she stayed on. I left Kimpton and went to Hyatt. I wanted to become closer to home. I was in the Massachusetts National Guard at the time. And being the National Guard, I wanted to make sure I was closer to home. And so I picked up a position with Hyatt in Buffalo, moving back closer to Jamestown. And in 2012, I made my way back down to Jamestown and held a couple positions here in upper level management until the opportunity became available that Dino Pace was selling his restaurant, Pace's Pizza, and my wife and I purchased the restaurant in 2018.
Okay, cool. So I know you do other things as well, right? So tell us about your other business endeavors.
Sure, absolutely. So first and foremost, I'm a certified sommelier. So it's a wine expert for those who don't know. If you want to learn all about that on a rainy night, check out Netflix's documentary, Somm. Super cool documentary. You can geek out as much as you want with that. It's a lot of fun. I incorporate that, doing wine tastings and so on in the restaurant. So that's another avenue of revenue. Another thing that I do is I like to day trade. I love the markets, equities, options, all that fun stuff. I also own income properties. So I like to be a landlord and really provide a really nice yet affordable housing for residents of this great city. I'm also very active in the community. I sit on two boards and I'm always getting myself involved to see what I can do to help others out.
Yeah. So what got you into the, I guess you would say the real estate world?
I just really like the idea of having passive income. I also like being a landlord. I like the idea of taking care of some folks. Growing up, you know, a lot of my friends and even myself, I moved 13 times when I was a kid. So I was in and out of housing a lot. So I know what it's like to have that interaction from the tenant side. So I knew when I was younger that I'd grow up to be a really great landlord and really provide some great housing for some folks and make sure that it was affordable and that could be very comfortable and And I like the idea of the passive income. So,
no, that's really good. So for newer, or I guess you would say people that are investing in real estate or becoming a landlord, because I'll try to stick on one subject at a time here. You got any advice from them at all?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, you're going to want to grab a couple of books, read the books. You want to know what the difference is between being a landlord and having rental income and flipping real estate, et cetera. There are some costs that are incurred every time you do buy a property. One of the books that I recommend right out of the gates is going to be Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. I would say that's probably the first book you should read before investing at all. And it really, really talks about the opportunity to use debt in a good way. For example, buying a property, updating the property, raising its value, using the equity in that property for down payment on another property, and so on and so forth. Copy paste. Always knowing that, you know, you're not going to get 12 months of rent out of the year. If you're making a budget, I would factor in 11 months. You're going to have probably 1 month of costs, whether that's, you know, searching for a tenant, whether that's repairs. My advice is to be conservative on your budgeting process. Make sure that you are saving enough money for rainy days, for equipment purchases, for repairs, and, you know, being frugal as much as you can, and, being patient, and before you know it, it turns, it grows exponentially.
Yeah. So for we've had some people that do some real estate investing on the podcast. A lot of them talked about, before having someone, obviously a guest in the house, I guess you would say, for lack of better words, I say they do like credit checks. They've heard some horror stories. Anything you want to talk about there?
Yeah, sure. So we're pretty fortunate here in Jamestown, because Jamestown is a small town. Being so networked and so involved as that I am, and I really pride myself on that. I spend a lot of time. I'm an extrovert like you. I love people. And if I can help out, I'll help out in any way that I can. And I just love being involved. I love changing things. Because of that, I know a lot of people in the area. If I was in a 600,000, populated area like Buffalo, or even larger like New York City, I would rely much heavier on credit checks and background checks. I have used them. I use those programs, but I actually often just have word of mouth, kind of network marketing, referrals, a lot of referrals. So a lot of my friends of friends, et cetera. And one of the joys of the small town.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's the small town vibe there. So talk to us about why you bought the pizzeria. Because obviously you do a lot of different things. I'll just call you a serial entrepreneur, which is awesome. So again, we could do a lot of things today. So what made you really do that?
I appreciate that question. It's a really great question, because you'd say, Joe, geez, you love to travel. You've been to Europe. You've lived in Italy. You've been there 4 times. Why aren't you there? Or California, or New York City? There's just something special about this small town and about that pizzeria, that 1500 square foot pizzeria that just embodies what true hospitality is, what small town America is, what Italian American culture is. And, there's something to be said about walking into that restaurant and sitting in the same booth I sat in when I was 14, learning about all of Dino's wonderful adventures. And, when through the years, as Dino kind of stepped away, he had other folks in there who took over for the restaurant and weren't as successful as Dino. And the restaurant started to really fail, to be honest. And unfortunately, it was in a spot where it was, to the point where it's almost going to have to be closed. And I said to myself, there's no way that can happen. There's no way. And so on my honeymoon in the Dominican Republic, I said to Olivia, my wife, I said, honey, I got to buy this place. And she said, I know. So we had about 2 weeks of wonderful, relaxed marriage until we bought a restaurant. And then we've been going kind of crazy ever since. But
do you guys both work in the restaurant?
We do. Yes. Asking? Yeah. She does a great job. In fact, being that she's not here right now, I'll tell you the truth. She makes a better pizza than me. There's picture perfect. Every pepperoni is where it's supposed to be. Every green pepper. I'm more of a speed guy. There's 6,000 people. I'll get them out in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So we definitely have each other's best interests. So I had to buy it. I said, there's no way that's going to get turned into a Lee's Nails or a Dollar General or torn down or what have you. There's too much history. There's too much legacy. My friend Dino worked his entire life coming from Italy, jumping onto a boat in Naples, World War II, Mussolini, all that crap. And he started this lovely restaurant, and it was not under my watch going to be bulldozed. And so I took it from a restaurant that was operating a net loss. And in the first year we operated a net gain, and we've been increasing ever since.
No, that's awesome. So if you want a beautiful looking pizza, make sure you ask for your wife to make it versus you. But if you want it done quicker and faster, then we'll have Joe have your guy do it. That's awesome. So unfortunately, I had some questions written down, sure, but I'm not near that anymore because we moved to outside, because it's such a beautiful day outside. Why not record outside? So I want to ask you, what were some questions that you wanted to cover today? Usually I have in front of me, we're stacked, ready to go. I want to make sure we have what you want on this podcast as well.
I appreciate that. I think I will let the viewers of the podcast and listeners of the podcast know I'm 31 years old. I graduated from college in 2010. And there's a couple of things I have to say before I get into the questions. One, always keep learning. You're never, never, never going to know it all. Things change, technology changes, policies change, trends change, everything changes. Read a lot. You know, try to have a high emotional intelligence and intuition by getting to talk to a lot of people and observing how, you know, other restaurants or other businesses are doing it or what the trends are coming from the big cities. I found that to be very helpful. Some of the questions I think that I should ask or that I should answer are questions that I think any entrepreneur at any age, but in particular ones just starting out, would want to know. And a lot of that has to do with fear. A lot of it has to do with the unknown. And, you know, I'm a cautious optimist. I'm very optimistic, but I do assess risk. So first things first, I would say is if you're starting out, get to know what, you know, the trade in which you're going to go into. So generally, if you're an entrepreneur, it's something you're already passionate about, you've already done, maybe under somebody else, you want to do it yourself. Great. You know a lot about that. You don't want to, you know, definitely surround yourself with folks that are smart as well. But before you even take that first step, before you learn about the laws, the regulations, et cetera, in, you know, your local jurisdiction about how to open, any permits you need, I'm referring kind of specifically to restaurants here, brick and mortar operations. Know that your friends, your family, even the ones that care deeply about you, will tell you not to do it. Many of them. And it's an unintentional travesty because there's nothing worse than the flame of entrepreneurship. It's so small when you first start. It's so easy to extinguish, especially by people that you know and you care about. So I would say, just know that you have to take that, listen to it, understand they're telling you that because generally they care about you and they're generally risk adverse or maybe risk adverse. And they just don't want to see you fail. But failing is okay, especially in the beginning. It's okay. Don't be afraid of failure. But just know, protect your flame. Protect it from naysayers and negativity and do it anyways. Do it anyways.
I love it. In fact, we talked a little about Gary Vee beforehand, and I'm totally going to butcher his quote, so I'm going to paraphrase it. So this is not Gary Vee's quote. This is my impersonation of Gary Vee's quote is, listen to people, nod with them, agree with them, just do it, then do whatever the heck you were going to do anyways. I'm cleaning up the language a little bit. Yeah, I love it. Just do whatever the heck you wanted to do anyways. And yeah, I'm totally about, you know, being cautiously optimistic, right? So I think that's so cool. So I'm guessing you didn't grow up in an entrepreneurial family, or did you?
No, I grew up in, if you were to look at the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, right, by Robert Kiyosaki, I generally grew up with a poor dad mentality. Yeah. Not that my dad was poor necessarily, though we didn't, you know, have a lot of money growing up. Things got better as we moved forward. But I grew up in the mentality of go to school, get good grades, 9 to 5, you know, work for the man, et cetera. I'm not saying don't go to school, and I'm certainly not saying don't do good. Great, because I could tell you that school definitely helped launch my career. Doing well in school helped to, you know, enable great relationships with professors who are well-connected. And if you don't do great in school, you're not going to have the relationships with professors, which won't launch your networking and your opportunity for job placement and learning out of school. So by no means am I saying don't go to school.
In fact, you're going to school to be a lawyer.
That's exactly right. I thought I had a lot of loves in life, and I try to, you know, set out a list of things I want to do, and I accomplish them, personal and professional. And from 20 to 30, I've accomplished everything I wanted to do in my 20s. And now in my 30s to 40s list, there's many things that are a bit more in depth. One of them is to go back to school. So I intend to go back to school for one of the years. A Juris Doctorate usually takes 3 years. I intend to go back for one. I start actually in 6 days. I'm all set with the school. I intend to do a legal apprenticeship. So working for some amazing attorneys right here in Jamestown is my goal. So go to school for 1 year and then learn under excellent litigators for the following 2 years. After satisfying those 3 years, then sitting for the bar and then going off and, you know, opening a, of course, firm of my own.
Who's going to run the pizzeria, Joe?
Well, you know, I don't sleep. So there's that. And of course, Olivia Town, my wife, she's a terrific operator. We're co-owners and she does a terrific job. We have a great team also. We have a great management team. So between the fact that school is very flexible right now, being online. So again, COVID being as unfortunate as it is, has really opened the doors for a lot of opportunity. If you're willing to take those risks and willing to look for those opportunities and take advantage of it. And one of those opportunities is a flexible legal schedule. So though the work will still be there, the reading will still be there, the case briefs will still be there. And I intend to put, you know, 100% into it. I still have a lot of time in between to really focus on the main you know, high priorities for the restaurant and, you know, leaving the rest up to our wonderful team. So,
yeah, that's so cool because what I love about what you're doing is you're kind of like me. It sounds like you get bored very easily. And so many of us are like, okay, like I would just stop at, you know, being a business owner, a real estate investor, being a landlord, I'm good. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to go back to be a lawyer. It's like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, and to me, it's just like, to most of you, that doesn't make any sense, but I get it because you're like, okay, if I'm not dead, God's still using me. You know, I'm not here to do the same thing the rest of my life. And we're kind of the same way there. But that being said, I wonder where that came from. Because he always asks, where did that, I don't use the word drive because it sounds like I'm, you know, egotistical or hubris, but where did that drive come from from just really trying to accomplish a lot of different things, do you think?
That's a great question. A lot of people actually ask me that same question. Where's your energy come from? Your enthusiasm. I can tell you're a very enthusiastic, energetic guy also. So you understand, you know, being that that is so required in the business world because you have to set the tone for your team and for your, you know, the sale, for everything. Where does it come from? I think that, you know, God first and foremost. I think that, you know, sometimes we're just given particular gifts or particular skills that we can turn into gifts, or we can just lay down on and not use to our full potential. So I think that I was just born with a higher energy than many. Even some of my family wonder, you know, when I sleep. It's just crazy the amount of energy I have. But it comes from my passion to always be wanting to do things, different things, do well. Even when I was in school, for example, if I, you know, received a score of less than 90 in anything in class, I'd rip it up and throw it away. I would take it completely out of my mental purview, completely out of, like, I wouldn't even want to reference it again. I mean, I would look at it, see what I missed, understand why I missed it, and go right into the trash. It'd open my folder, be 90 or above, you know, and that's just how I live my life. It's like, I can do better. I will do better. When I was in basic training, there was 300 particular soldiers in my unit, and we were on a physical fitness test. And there's a 2-mile run. And I said to my drill sergeant, I said, I'm going to beat every single person here. And, you know, they kind of thought it was kind of funny. And I beat every single person. I scored first out of 300 soldiers. And that's just that's where it comes from, is my desire to, you know, I have to succeed, because if you don't succeed, then you end up, you know, in the same perpetual motions that you may or may not have grown up in. So knowing that we grew up, you know, again, not poor, but certainly not wealthy, and seeing, you know, how some folks lived and, you know, how some businesses operated, and, you know, looking at different career paths is interesting to me. And then observing how folks who are successful in those career paths lived their lives and how they operated and how they socialized, et cetera. I knew what I had to do to get there. And there's nothing that's middle to stop me.
Yeah, man. I could tell. I love the energy for sure. So you and I are kind of very similar, where I grew up a single mom of 5 kids. I'm the oldest. And, you know, she did the best, but she worked 3 jobs just to have, like, simple Christmas gifts on the, you know, we, you know, on the table, or underneath the Christmas tree, I should say. And, you know, we didn't go on vacations really growing up, besides maybe a 3-day drive to Florida for a couple of days in a Motel 6. But that being said, you know, it just really shaped us and who we are and what we want out of life. And I wouldn't change it. But I do want to make sure that, you know, we get through your other questions. Is there any other questions that, again, it's kind of weird. I'm not asking, you're asking, then answering, but you know what? You got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Sure. So another thing I wanted to kind of reiterate here is, we talked about the fear factor. We talked about how to eliminate the fear factor and know that you're going to run into situations where you're uncomfortable, where you're unsure, where you're, you know, self-conscious of a particular issue. And that's okay. That's fine. So we've talked about that. The next thing I want to really talk about is what it's going to take, right? So sometimes we hop on Instagram, we hop on Twitter, we hop on Facebook, and we see this, you know, a guy in front of his Maserati or a lady in front of her Rolls Royce saying, you know, just click a couple of buttons and follow these 3 steps for 13 seconds and you become a billionaire. And again, to kind of go back onto Gary Vee's kind of thoughts on this, which I agree with Gary Vee, I don't know of a single person who didn't inherit money that didn't work their butt off to get it, or to open a great business. It didn't work their butt off to get it to where it was. And you have to rely on a steadfast, impermeable work ethic. And it has to come from self-discipline, not motivation. Motivation is temporary. Self-discipline. That means waking up when you're tired. That means getting out of bed when you don't feel good. That means when you're having a bad day, you put a smile on anyways, and you go and you tell your team everything's going to be wonderful. And you just have to work your butt off from morning to night until you are where you want to be. There's no shortcut to success. Outside of, like, potentially winning the lottery, there's literally no shortcut. And Gary Vee says the same thing. You know, you're just going to have to work your butt off. So know this, you're getting out of college, you want to start a business, especially a brick and mortar business. You're going to have to work your butt off. You have to be there. You're going to have to, you know, to put into Jamestown or Falconer terminology here down in small town USA, you have to milk your own cow, is what they say around here. And it's so true. I got to be in the restaurant all the time to milk my own cow.
Yeah, because it's so easy to get caught up in where, like, well, I don't have to anymore. I've achieved this level of success, maybe income rate or whatever, you know, our ego, whatever feeds our ego. So to me, it's kind of cool that you still do that. And sometimes I wonder, because I'm such a delegator. I love, okay, I chase my passion. If it's not my passion, I delegate it. The busy work, whatever you want to call it. So I was really surprised, you know, I mean, obviously you have a passion for it, for working. If not, so I would love to talk more about that. If you have any thoughts on that.
So delegation's huge, especially if you're growing, right? If you want to grow, you have to delegate. What the interesting thing about restaurants is, unless, of course, you're at such a large, you have multiple units, or you're in a chain operation, and then, of course, you can hire and you can, you know, really really acquire a personality that's a lot like yours to work the floor. I will say that for some reason in the crazy restaurant world, with a huge failure rate, unfortunately, one of the things about the restaurant world that makes it different than other brick and mortar businesses is that most of your customers want to see you. There's something to be said about when the owner gives undivided attention, understands exactly what you like, offers something new for you to try, says hello to your family and friends. They can bring their friends, they can bring their family there. You got to meet Joe. You got to meet Joe. I feel like Pace's Pizzeria has wonderful pizza. I mean, really, really great, maybe world-class pizza. Yes. At the end of the day, I really feel that a lot of folks came to Pace's to see Dino, to talk to Dino, to have that music choice, you know, to have that environment, that culture. And now that I have taken it over, I have a very similar, but a more enhanced even culture and adding on to what he already had. So in that sense, you have to be there. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be there all day long in that capacity. It just means that you absolutely have to table touch. So you have to go out on the floor during your busiest hours. You have to be that that influence for your team to see how you interact with customers, knowing that, you know, they're more than customers. They're guests. They're in your house. They're in your living room. You know, I have a firm philosophy that, let's say you close at 9 o'clock and there's some folks still drinking a glass of wine at 9:30. The last thing you want to do is have your team swooping up around their feet and turning the lights up. Sometimes you have to have not very firm times for opening and closing because you want them to be comfortable. And sometimes your most important tables are your first table and
like
your last table.
You wouldn't kick out your own guests, right? They're having a good time.
Never.
I think that's so cool. And I love that. I think that was a really great answer. A question I have as well is for business owners that are in small town, maybe not Jamestown, but, you know, small town, right? You know, there's a lot of small towns, obviously in Western New York. So any general advice for business that are in small town, maybe they're like, there's not enough people here. Oh, I don't have this or I don't have that. Any myths that you want to bust, like, that's not true. This is what you should do. And anything that comes to mind at all?
I can think of two things instantly. One is when you go to a small town, you know, you originally think, gee, there's a lot of competition here. I think that I can't stress this enough. Other businesses that are like your business, I'll go back to restaurants for the example. Other restaurants are not your competition, especially the ones that are privately owned. They're not your competition. They're your friends. And you can work together and you can literally make each other better. And I support all restaurants, whether it's through COVID, whether it's, you know, dining in their operations. I share their stuff on Facebook. I must be the craziest person to some people. They're like, here it is, Joe Tom from Pace's Pizza, literally resharing other restaurants' specials or other their success stories. I can't wait to just support my local restaurants. So if I was in somebody else's shoes wanting to open a business in a small town, I would say that you have to support other people. But in doing that also, let's say that you're in a very small town and there's 5 restaurants and 3 of them are pizzerias. Don't open a pizzeria. Like, you know, just being honest with you. Like, just, I had this conversation came up with, you know, the city council asked me the same question. What do you think about food trucks? I love food trucks. Why not? I said, but don't park a taco truck right outside of Taco Hut. You know, there's don't undercut your community, especially a small community. If you have 600,000 people, you can never have enough pizza places. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. A town of 30,000, you know, unless you're super passionate about pizza, maybe find a different location, but there's other opportunities to open something else. There's always a need. There's always a void. Like right now, just thinking outside of the box here, what would I do if I didn't do pizza? I would do probably a vegan operation. There's no vegan shops in Jamestown. I would do maybe a salad and wrap food truck where I would just do, you know, different salads that were, you know, gourmet or however you want to take it. Grilled wraps, Greek wraps, you know, Slovakia, tzatziki, all these different things. You know, there's so many items, so many business opportunities that aren't here in Jamestown, and there's a void that could be filled, that could be very lucrative without undercutting your community members who own restaurants.
That's good. That being said, we only have a few minutes left, man. So is there anything else that you want to tell the entrepreneur world in terms of Western New York, maybe small town, Western New York before we head out here?
Sure. I think the one last thing I want to say is persistence. You have to be persistent. So if I could say one thing to any folks, any member of the community looking to start a business, it's just do it. Literally just go out and do it. And if you fall flat on your face, wonderful. Get back up. Try it again or try something else. You know, how many stories have we heard, you and I, that, you know, different entrepreneurs and different owners of different businesses, what they started off doing and that didn't work, or how many times they had to approach a bank for lending before someone said yes. If you don't have that driving passion that sustains you through those failures, then you won't be able to bring it to fruition because it needs a leader like that. An idea in a business needs a leader that's going to lead it through the good and the bad.
Yeah, that's so true. And there's so many crazy stories we've had on, and not just the podcast, but just in general. And unfortunately, we can't get to them all. For those who really just connect with you, who just vibe with you, who would love to just maybe reach out to you. We've had people put their emails out, their cell phones, whatever you feel comfortable, Joe, just anyone that would love to connect with you. How do they do so?
I'm a big fan of connection. I think that the human connection, it empowers me. It energizes me and it drives me. That's why I love to travel and meet folks of different cultures and connect with them. At the end of the day, what fun would it be if we didn't connect? Connection's key. So I would be more than happy to have you in the restaurant, sit down, have a glass of wine. We could talk about where it comes from. We could not talk about where it comes from. We can talk about where you come from, where I come from, where we want to go. I'm happy to talk about anything with anyone at any time. So Pace's Pizzeria, 549 West 3rd Street, Jamestown, New York, right near the Comedy Center, the National Comedy Center that's just built. We're right near there. My email is jtownpizza@gmail.com, and I'm on all social media platforms. So Pace's Pizzeria 2.0 on Facebook, Pace's Pizza on Instagram. It's a wonderful world that's being made a lot smaller with technology and social media. So reach out to me anyway. You can message me on Facebook, message me on the contact form on the website, call me at the restaurant, 716-484-9034. Send up a smoke flare, whatever you want to do.
A little SOS.
Carrier pigeon. We'll get together.
Yeah, we'll figure out Morse code. Hey, Joe, I just really appreciate you, man. I appreciate you inviting me out to J-Town. It's good to be back here. It's been a while. And I'm just looking forward to really getting this out.
Perfect. Appreciate your time.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com for articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.